Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, as you always are every Friday. 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, of course, in beautiful Los Angeles, at our amazing studios. Welcome to the couch, everybody, and as always, a terrific show today to, you know, help you out with things, give you some ideas about some of the issues that are pretty common that we all share, and how to find some solutions. I don't have a therapeutic relationship with you, but what I do is I try to give you some suggestions and ideas and, you know, things that have worked for people in the past to iron out some of, you know, our own issues and problems and feelings and relationship issues especially. That's what I do a lot of in my practice, is help people with their relationships, things like that. So if you would like to email me with a question or a moral dilemma, please do so. It's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to call in live, the number here in beautiful Los Angeles, 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. Now, today what I'm doing is I'm answering a lot of your questions that you've already written me on Gmail. And I called y'all, whose questions I am going to answer today, to tell you to listen and tune in. And I hope you're doing so. I see the, I see the figures. I see the ratings. I see the graph going up. You're all here with me. Thank you. Hey, baby, I love it. Nice to have you with me. So, again, you can give me a shout if you'd like to give me a call. But, again, I'm going to be reading some listeners' questions. So today we're going to be dealing with things like, let's see here, how to deal with someone who is emotionally abusive. Interesting. Also, we're going to be talking about how to avoid getting into stupid little arguments with our partners. Also, let's see. Oh, yeah, we've got a great question on self-esteem as well. You know, that's one of my most common things that I hear from people who come in to see me is, you know, they're really down on themselves. They beat themselves up a lot. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, we all do it, but it's how much do we do it to where we just feel horrible and depressed and life sucks and we put ourselves down. And then we project that into the world onto others, or we just kind of show in our body language and the way we speak to others, non-assertively, that that we do have low self-esteem. And it's really prevalent here in Los Angeles because it's the entertainment capital of the world. It's all about looking good. It's all about being perfect and hot. And boy, if you were a fly in my office and you listen to some of the issues that come up about dating that I hear and the competition, this is really, you know, social media is like a PR firm. You just have to promote the hell out of yourself to have people approve of you and like you and date you and hook up with you, and it's crazy. It's really crazy. So what I try to do is help people out with a lot of those self-esteem issues. And like I said, we're going to be doing that today. One of the listeners who's a regular asked me about that. So let's get with it. I wanted to jump right into this because this is a really important subject. And I would say about once a month I have somebody coming in, talking to me about, is this person emotionally abusing me in a relationship? So it could be a woman emotionally abusing a man. There's no, you know, I mean, people think of, oh, I've been abused, the guy's probably doing it. Not necessarily. you know? So let's get with it. This is from Sarah. And she said, I have been in a relationship for about 3 years with someone who seemed like a nice guy at first. We had a lot of fun, had great sex for about the first 6 months. Then after finally moving in together, he seemed to change in his personality. Some of my best friends say that he's emotionally abusing me because of the way he controls me and puts me down. I feel like I want to pull away from him because there are some times that he lashes out at me, makes me feel depressed, and like I'm not good enough for him. I know he would never lay a hand on me, but he does have some anger. He told me that he had a dad who used to verbally abuse him and his brother. But there are also some good things about him. He has a lot of drive and has been pretty successful as a commercial real estate investor. Okay. Can you tell me how you define emotional abuse and what things I should be looking for in terms of the personality profile of an emotional abuser? Thank you, Sarah, so much for emailing me. I really appreciate that. That's a great question. And as I said, I get a lot of people coming into my office asking me this question. It's really weird, isn't it, that sometimes we can't even, like, identify that? It's like we have to question it. And when our friends objectively can go, oh, wow, that person's like, get away from that person. But sometimes we're so enmeshed in a relationship, we don't even notice it. Yeah, that's kind of a weird thing, huh? Anyway, let me give you the definition, Sarah, first. And then you can, I'm sure you've checked this out. You've Googled this. But this is my definition. It's emotional abuse is any non-physical behavior or attitude that controls, intimidates, demeans, punishes, or isolates someone by using degradation, humiliation, or fear. All right, that being said, they invalidate another person's thoughts and feelings. They refuse to acknowledge the needs of the other person sometimes. And, you know, it's not necessarily abuse, but there's a fine line between being detached, you know what I'm saying, and just sort of like not even giving that other person respect, and emotional abuse. You see what I'm saying? And of course, there's a big difference between experiencing or inflicting emotional hurt and being emotionally abusive. So emotionally, you know, hurting. Here's the thing. Abuse is a cycle. So you see it happening again and again and again. And Sarah, I don't know if this is happening with you, but it's not a once-in-a-while event that happens and hurts somebody else. I mean, we all get into arguments, right? So in a lot of ordinary, hurtful situations, you know, that we all have had before, we say things that are hurtful. You know, a lot of them are unintentional. We just blurt things out because we're being babies, usually. And we're like, nye, nye, nye. We're trying to protect our egos and all that. So if they were unintentional and we just kind of, you know, blew up or whatever, there's remorse on the part of the person who inflicted that hurt, you know? And so once the anger and frustration and all that stuff calms down, cooler heads prevail, there's an apology, and there's like, wow, I shouldn't have done that, and it's not continually being inflicted by someone who's emotionally hurting you or controlling you or being abusive, you know? And yeah, there can be like apologies, right? And promises to never do it again with someone who's emotionally abusing you. And there is hope in the beginning usually, right? You said you had a great relationship, that some of these behaviors will change. It's called the honeymoon phase, we call it. But somewhere in the back of many a person's mind, we know that it's a matter of time that the emotional abuser sort of settles back or into old routines. And you may have been, you know, kind of like denying this, Sarah. And that's why your friends can see it. So we try to make relationships all nicey-nice. We try to make them work and try to hang in there. But, you know, when that emotional abuse keeps going on, it's like, well, we're going to diffuse the situation. So here's the profile of an emotional abuser. Let me just give you this idea. Because you wrote here that he told you that his dad used to verbally abuse him and his brother. Now, I'm not saying that all of us who've been verbally abused are going to be emotionally abusive to others. No, we're not going to. But usually at the heart of an emotionally abused person is their need to ultimately be in control. This is kind of what it's all about, Sarah. So you know what I'm saying? They usually feel inadequate. They harbor, like, distorted beliefs about a lot of people. Usually if it's a man, and I'm just referring to you saying that this is your guy doing this to you. And I'm not saying that guys are usually emotionally abusive. Women do it too. Again, just want to clarify that. But usually guys who are emotionally abusive, they have sort of distorted beliefs about women, and they do learn from an abusive father or another dominant male influence sometimes. Or they don't have a normal role model, how to treat women. They just don't have it. You know, in many cases, but not all, an emotionally abusive guy can be manipulative, you know, heavy-handed in keeping his woman under their thumb. So we call it like self-referenced, which means that they only see and consider things from their point of view. Right? They're incapable of looking at things from another's perspective. It's like selfish, self-referenced. They're kind of two different words, but they can be described like this. This is the way I think about it. It's like the self-referenced person would give you the shirt off his back, but he doesn't know you need it. Okay? The self-referenced person usually violates the marriage or the just a partnership by acting without thoughtfully considering their partner's point of view and needs. Okay? And usually emotionally abusive people, they're really dependent on their partners. That is, like, their feelings of self-worth comes from being with you. Okay? Most emotionally abusive people are unable to look at and examine themselves. And why they engage in that, what I call spirit-killing behavior against somebody that they've avowed to love and cherish, or not even marriage. Just, hey, let's move in. This is great. I love you. You're wonderful. And, you know, continuously humiliating, you know. So some of the effects that you might be feeling, and this is something maybe your friends are seeing, Sarah. Short-term effects of emotional abuse that you might be experiencing, girl. Anxiety or fear. Shame or guilt. Becoming overly passive or compliant. This is what your girlfriends, your girlfriends and your guy friends might be seeing, Sarah. You know, are you feeling powerless and defeated? Are they seeing that you're kind of wussing out? Do you feel like you're walking on eggshells so you can keep everything smooth? Are you feeling undesirable? That's another big one. Because when we're emotionally abused, we feel like it's something's wrong with us. They make us feel like that. And I know, no one makes us feel. We make ourselves feel. Well, that's true, but come on now. We base our own self-worth on what others think of us. It's just the way it is in the world. So what can happen if this is truly a long-term emotional abuse going on, Sarah? What's going to happen on a long-term basis is you're going to get more depressed, probably. You may withdraw. You may withdraw from others. I don't know how much he controls you and your friends and what you do out there in the world. You're going to have more low self-esteem. Gosh, you may have some sleep issues or the inability to trust others in the future. And you may feel totally alone and trapped and all that stuff. So I just want you to hear what I'm saying, girl, and take good care of yourself. Please go see a specialist who works on self-esteem and also on emotional abuse, or works with people who have been victims of abuse of any kind. Abuse. Now, it doesn't mean he is going to turn into a physical abuser. Emotional abuse is, that's really bad. They say it's just as bad, but no. I mean, it's bad. It's really bad. But it can destroy our spirit. Truly. But you've got to be more assertive and really look at what your friends are saying. If this person you're with is not willing to own what he's doing and saying, wow, you need to maybe go to a couples counselor as well as get your own independent therapy, because that really might help. You know, that's just some ideas for you, honey. And I really want you to think about the things I've said, because you need to take care of yourself first. You need to really hear what your friends are saying. This is a biggie. This is a real biggie. Okay? So thank you so much for emailing me, Sarah. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. You are on the couch with me today, as you always are on Fridays at 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time. We're in beautiful Los Angeles, a little on the outskirts of Los Angeles here. Number to call if you have any questions, problems, suggestions, ideas, or comments. Is 323. That's the Los Angeles area code. 323-203-0815. And I'll be happy to help you out with moral dilemmas you may be having. Questions about things. And again, you know, I'm not your therapist, so don't take this as literal therapy. But I'm just giving you some ideas and suggestions about things that can help. You know, things that might make you feel better. Just things to think about. And usually what I do is I suggest to a lot of you guys to get, you know, help with a therapist, psychologist, MFT, whatever, who really specializes in, you know, your particular issue. Okay? All righty. And also, if you want to email me, you can do so at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com if you have any questions. So we're moving on here. So I'm looking at the list. And you know, I just briefly mentioned the idea about self-esteem when, you know, I was reading Sarah's email about feeling like she may be emotionally abused. The fact that you're thinking about it, Sarah, means something's up. Something's up. And your friends are pointing it out. Yep, something's up. And what goes along with that, too, is low self-esteem. You know, I mean, that's huge because we have to really think about, you know, how to take care of ourselves. And things to think about to build up our own self-esteem. Now, there's a difference between being narcissistic. I have a lot of people who go, well, I don't want to, you know, build myself up too much. Because I was always taught when I was young, if I do, then I'm being a snob. Or I'm being narcissistic. Or I'm bragging or whatever. We all need to build ourselves up. Yeah. We all need to do that and to take care of ourselves. But the problem is then, you know, the difference between, let's say, narcissism and making it all about you and, you know, knowing that you have a lot of good qualities and you are accomplished, that kind of thing, or you feel good about your appearance, you take care of yourself. The difference is that, you know, you can have all those good things and knowledge about yourself, but you also have the ability to own stuff that you've created. You have humility as well. You have empathy. That's the biggie. You consider others' feelings. You know, so that's sort of healthy self-esteem, that kind of thing. So let's get to this self-esteem question because I think it's a really good one, if I can find it. Let me flip through my thing. Oh, here we go. All right. Hey, Doc. There was a time in my life when I didn't believe in myself. Having grown up in your average dysfunctional family, I found myself in the role of peacekeeper and people pleaser from a young age. Yeah. I believed if I was compliant and accommodating, I could keep everyone happy and prevent the crazy behavior going on around me. Boy, is this like I have heard this so much, you guys listening out there. By the way, on a deeper level, I was afraid of being emotionally abandoned. Well, sure. Absolutely. When my efforts didn't work, I tried harder. Needless to say, over time, I trained myself to stuff down my own feelings for fear that I'd rock the boat further. In certain areas of my life, this pattern continued into young adulthood. During confrontational situations, I either backed down quickly or avoided engaging altogether. Although I was rewarded for being a pleaser, eventually my self-esteem began to waver. I had false beliefs that I wasn't good enough, and if I didn't comply to the wants and needs of others, this mindset was unsustainable and soul-crushing. Wow. Can you give me some things to think about to help me build my self-esteem? Well, first of all, thank you for being so completely honest, you know, with me. God, I really... Wow, that's amazing. So this is Stefan, by the way. Don't know if it's a real name, but Stefan, you're awesome, and I really appreciate it because I mean this is a real common issue that I deal with all the time. So there are some things to remember when you have low self-esteem. What I ask people to do a lot of times is, first of all, work on being assertive. So they're not people pleasers. Because growing up in the environment, Stefan, that you grew up in, you were that fixer. You were that guy that was the people pleaser and making everything nicey-nice in the home all the time, weren't you? It's hard. That's your survival technique, Stefan. And I'm not making fun of you at all, honey. I am not saying that was wrong. I'm saying to you, you know what? You're surviving, and you have to be a people pleaser, and that's the way you work in life. Sometimes people pleasers do okay because they're not obnoxious, and people don't look at them like troublemakers and out of control and all that. But the problem with people pleasers is they don't know assertiveness, usually. They haven't learned those skills. So you got to learn how to assert yourself more often. And you also have to write down things about yourself that you know are amazing. I don't care what it is. You go into details. I don't care what it is. Write down things that you love or like about yourself. That's what I want you to do. Physically, emotionally, you know, I have the ability. Let's put it down there, number one. I am a people pleaser. I'm really nice. I try to make others feel better before me. You're thoughtful. You're nice. All those good things about you. What I want you to do, Stefan, is write those things down. Or put them in your phone, put them in your memo, put them in your notes, whatever you do. Put them in there so you can look at them every day. And when you start feeling down about yourself or you start feeling a little weird or whatever is going on, you know, in a work situation or in a relationship or whatever, comparing yourself to other people, I want you to whip that list out and go over it and over it. These are like affirmations. These are real things that you know about you. And I don't care, again, what it is. If you like your eyes, put that down. I think I have really nice eyes. I know it's embarrassing to talk about yourself, but it's only for you. It's only your little note to you. Okay. Or I have great teeth. Hey, that's a positive. A lot of people don't have great teeth. Well, or I have a great smile. Or I have been told that I have a great smile. I have been told that I'm whatever it is, that I'm physically fit or I look in shape. Now, these are the physical things. Let's go deeper. I've been told that I have a good heart. I've been told that I care for people. And people like me for that because I'm really interested in what they have to say. So whatever you have learned about yourself, whatever you know about yourself that's good, write all those things down and add to the list as much as you can. I know it's hard to do that, especially when you have low self-esteem. It's hard to say, I'm this and I'm great. And again, it's not narcissistic. It's just for you. It's your little note. It's cool. I appreciate it. I want you to do that. And also, Stefan, I want you to think about these things, all right? Ready? You can listen to this show, by the way, and just as soon as we get off the air. You can replay and download it. So you can, check it out, what I said to you. So I want you to think about some of these things. I want you to remember some of these things. When you're having a low self-esteem day, remind yourself that you deserve more than the negative beliefs that you put yourself in. You are deserving of whatever you want in life. That's what we're here for. That's why we came here. Yeah, it's just not a random thing like, oh, okay, I'm going to survive. No, no. We came here. And we have the ability in this day and age to do anything we want. Yes, many of us are born in certain socioeconomical situations that are really hard to get out of. I get it. I know it. But you are deserving of success. You are deserving of happiness. Okay? You have one life, as far as I know. There may be others. You may have had past life experiences or read those cool books and stuff. Watch those ghost hunter shows. But as long as I know it, we're here now, and that's all that counts. So if you live to age 90, figure out how many days left you have to live. Add it up. You have a number of limited days. And I'm not trying to do this whole negative thing like, oh my God, it's the countdown. I'm getting old. I have these people who come into me and say, I'm turning 40. I'm getting old. I'm so depressed. But here's the deal. I guess my point is, is you deserve as much a good life as you can from this day forward. Don't give away your precious life to fear about what others think about you and that you're not good enough. And here's the thing, too. So many people live with discomfort because they fear that they're going to upset other people, especially people pleasers. And it feels uncomfortable. But guess what? You can live with it. If you stand up for yourself, be assertive frequently enough, they're going to get the message. You'll also feel incredibly empowered, Stefan, by speaking your mind and claiming your personal authority. How do you feel about a situation? If you think things are not right or something's not right, speak up. You know? Because mistakes and failure, by the way, are cool. A lot of people have low self-esteem because they've been told that they're not good enough. You're going to be a failure. You're going to fail. You know, it's okay. Because everybody who's successful will tell you that they got to success on the stepping stones of failure and mess-ups and mistakes. And they were told and humiliated and embarrassed. They got fired. They were dumped in a relationship. But you know what? It's all good. Because we learn from these things. All right? Also want you to think about this, Stefan. Thoughts and beliefs are not reality. Okay? We call these cognitive distortions. Just because we misinterpret someone's face, if they're in a scowly mood or have a tummy ache, we're going to say, oh my gosh, they're mad at us. They're PO'd at us. No. No. Something from your past, as we talked about, contributed to your feeling lesser than. So those triggering events are over. I mean, you're out of the house. You're an adult, right? But your thoughts and feelings go on and on and on. And the more we think, the more we reinforce, the more we, right? It's just like learning anything, repetition and rehearsal. So it makes it real in our minds. Every time we feel down on ourselves, it goes back to those original events of feeling humiliated and put down and not good enough and in the home when you grew up. So thoughts and beliefs are nothing more than habits of consciousness. So in your conscious state, this is why I tell you to write down the things that you know about you that are amazing. Practice it every day, over and over. I know these things about me. I know these. Become more assertive. You become more empowered. You know what I'm saying, honey? Just think about these things. And most fears are illusions. And this goes back to not believing your thoughts. You know? And you may always feel some amount of fear that others are going to judge you and, you know, anxiety that you're not good enough. But keep reminding yourself that you are good enough. And you deserve it all. You deserve it all. Don't compare yourself with other people. I mean, you can do that to motivating you to get more, you know, successful or, you know, become more action-oriented towards what you'd like. But don't keep putting yourself down because you're not what your friend is or what that guy is, you know, on social media, which he probably isn't in reality. And know that it's going to help your relationships, too. Stefan, healthy relationships begin with self-love, honey. Self-love. I know that sounds really ridiculous. I love myself. You gotta, though. Because when you have low self-esteem, your relationships suffer. And here's what's going to happen. A lack of confidence and neediness. Yeah, they're really unattractive. You're going to project that. And by not being assertive, you're going to push other people away from you. It kind of makes your low self-esteem worse. You may attract some bossy people in your life who are telling you what to do and wanting to control you. So practice self-love. Honor your own needs and desires. Being compassionate and forgiving of you. You. Okay? Those are just some things to think about. And I thank you so much for emailing me and having the courage to do so, Stefan. You sound like an awesome person. And yeah, in your area, if you want to find somebody who is a specialist in building self-esteem, just check it out. I always use the website psychologytoday.com for people to check out, particular psychologists or MFTs or whatever kind of, licensed social workers in their area who can really help them, because it really breaks — I'm doing a free commercial for them — it breaks down all of the individuals, our therapists' specialties. So you want to check that out. It's psychologytoday.com. It'll help you find a good therapist. You'll also get to see what kind of insurance they carry and all that stuff. So something to, just sort of consider. Okay? I think that's a really good thing. This is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch. Welcome, everybody, as you always are. Friday, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time. Boy, we've covered a lot of great subjects. We're still going to go. We're still doing it right now here on the couch. And I'm answering your questions that you wrote me on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So we've covered self-esteem. We've covered emotional abuse. And what's up with that? What is that about? And by the way, I have contacted everybody who has written me and told them that they're going to be helped today with their particular question. So have your friends tune in. Yeah, right here. Put it out there so they can help understand what's going on with you. And also, the more the merrier. I also invite you to call if you guys have any issues, questions, or whatever. You can do that. That number, 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. So, we have a lot more things to cover coming up. And I do want to talk about one thing that a lot of people come in to see me about. A lot of people. What creates a loving relationship? That's a biggie. That's huge, because we bring all of our stuff into relationships. But what I want to do is I want to take a call right now, because we have somebody on the line, and let's see who's here. Hey, you're on here with Dr. Michelle. Who's this on the couch today?
Hey Dr. Michelle. This is Chase.
Chase, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I thank you for calling. It's good. So nice to have you here on the couch with me today. And what's going on?
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call. Well, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Okay.
I heard today's topic and thought that it was just, a great opportunity for me to maybe see your offerings of, everything that you do here on the show. And I just,
Don't be nervous. It's okay. Nobody knows
you.
It's
okay.
I know. Breathe with me now. Come on. Let's breathe, Chase. In through the nose, out through the mouth. I won't hurt you.
I don't know. I know you won't. I know you won't. I'm just a little nervous, and I don't know. I guess I don't even know how to say this myself, but I don't think I have ever been a really happy person.
Really?
There was a lot of chaos in my home growing up. My mother was an alcoholic.
Hmm.
My dad was always working and pretty much never around to help me out, and my younger brother and sister to handle the chaos that was always going on.
Yeah.
So I got some therapy while I was on campus. I went to Santa Barbara.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Cool. Good for you. That's a great school.
Yeah. So that helped me. Going to college and getting the therapy while I was on campus.
Good.
There at Santa Barbara. But I'm 28 years old, and I have a fairly good job in IT sales.
Oh, good. Good for you, man. Good for you.
Yeah. Thank you. This is a tough situation where I guess I don't know how to move forward in, maintaining happiness or maintaining just a state of joy. There were several women that I've dated And I was in a long-term relationship, actually, for about 2 years.
Wow.
Until my girlfriend recently broke up with me. She said that I always brought her down. Because she says I don't seem like a happy person. But here's the thing is, you know, I think I'm pretty easygoing.
Yeah.
I might not be the happiest guy, but I am easygoing. I've never had an outgoing personality. It's just, it's not who I am.
Okay, so you're a little mellower.
Please go on.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, I sometimes think that I've never really been a happy person.
Hey, Chase, we're having a bit of a problem with the cell phone. I don't know if you're in a car or what's going on, but it just seems like there's a lot of static. So I can barely hear you. So I may have to hang up.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Can you hear me a little better now?
Yeah, that's a little better. There was just a lot of noise going on, like you were in the wind in a car or something like that. So, yeah.
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 Sorry about that, Doc.
That's great.
Can you hear me better?
Yeah, I can hear you well. Go ahead. That's good.
Okay. So, yeah, just basically, in summary, you know, I've never really been a happy person. And now since my girlfriend dumped me, I really feel down.
Oh.
Can you just give me some ideas about how I can be happier?
Oh.
That's all I'm looking for. Is
bless
some
your heart.
Tools or something.
Yeah.
And I've looked online.
Yeah.
And it's just different talking to someone. And Dr. Michelle, I always take your advice in all of your shows, you know, every Friday. And I just thought I'd reach out and call.
Well, thank you so much, Chase. You're an awesome guy. I really like you. I want you to be happy.
Thank you.
I want you to be really happy, man, because you sound like an awesome person, and I'm so sorry about your girlfriend dumping me. How long ago was that?
It was actually pretty recent.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry.
It feels recent, but it was about 2 months ago.
Well, it is recent, and know that, you know, that's going to contribute to you not feeling well. And feeling down, and you're still going through it. It's a loss. Were you guys together for a while?
2 years.
Okay, honey. Well, you know, that is. We bond with people. We get into relationship, and you know, if we're not outgoing or, like you said, you know, a happy person, some of us just are mellower people. It doesn't mean we have to be fake or put on like we're the funniest or coolest person in the room. Right? Do you have friends that kind of act like that and stuff?
Yeah, I definitely do. And what I found myself doing is trying to overcompensate a little bit for, I guess you could say, my depression by like acting like this fake person. You know, like I would forcefully try to laugh at things that I didn't think were funny and just forcefully put myself in.
Yeah.
When I was in social environments with my ex girlfriend, I would do whatever I could to, you know, pretend like I was happy.
Yeah.
And just for some reason I just I just don't.
It's a drag. Yeah. It's a drag to have to pretend. I mean, a lot of people say act as if, but the thing, you know, and your brain will follow if you know, there's a lot of truth to that in a way, but if you're not feeling it and you're always faking it, then you feel more down. I mean, the bounce back from that is you feel more depressed because then you feel like you're not being genuine or you're not being you. So, and it, you know, I really hear what you said about growing up in your home. That, you know, you didn't feel really, you felt pretty abandoned, is that what? I mean, you felt pretty, you know, not appreciated or supported.
Yeah.
And your younger brother and your sister, you said, they feel the same way pretty much?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, you could say that.
Yeah,
I think I may have just taken it on the hardest because I was the one that, you know, my brother and sister would always run to.
Sure. You the oldest?
Yes.
Okay. That's usually what happens.
And
you're responsible.
And I always...
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I felt responsible and I wanted to be there for them as much as I could. So I would also... interestingly enough, it's kind of paradoxical. I guess you could say it's more hypocritical than paradoxical, but it's, you know, I would just tell them, just try to focus on the positives, see how, you know, this has shown you what not to do, and, you know, just trying to give this cheesy advice that you hear, but I'm not even doing it myself. So
how do I
be the best for my family, my brother and my sister?
Yeah.
How do I be the best for my loved ones when I'm not even being the
best? Exactly. Well, that's a really, you know, that's a huge point. And I don't know if you were listening earlier, but, you know, I was just kind of like giving Stefan some ideas about, you know, just deserving more and understanding how important it is to take care of you first. And I know you love, it sounds like you love your brother and sister, and you're wonderful, and you've been a great big brother protecting them from your alcoholic mother and your missing dad, and, you know, kind of, he was probably why he worked a lot, because, you know, he didn't want to be around the situation. The problem is it left you as the older brother to take care of everybody else, including your mother. So you became a caregiver, and, you know, there's a lot of trauma there. And, you know, so the thing is now in your life, you've got, it sounds like, a great job. You got out of college, and, you know, you're feeling hurt, of course, from your relationship that sort of ended. And I didn't know if you wanted to get into that or not, but, I mean, it's very, you know, it takes a while to process these feelings, and it makes you feel worse about yourself if you originally don't feel like a happy person. So you got to give yourself a break, sweetheart, that you're going to be sort of going through this emotional thing for a little while, dealing with this, and just allow yourself to, you don't have to fake anything. Allow yourself to feel the feelings, and sort of don't blame yourself, you know, but you got to take care of you. That's the most important thing that I can tell you, you know, at this particular time. I want you to also find... you know, on psychologytoday.com, because if you have a great job in IT, chances are you have insurance benefits, right? So, yeah, good for you. So find on psychologytoday.com a really good therapist that really focuses on self-esteem and, you know, positive life changes and things like that, because you really can sort of really identify people who you'd vibe to on there. But and I'm not just sort of pushing you off and saying, hey, go get therapy for it. What I'm trying to tell you
is
that,
of course, I completely understand.
And I'm not a big, you know, I'm not a big med pusher at all. I have seen people benefit from some, you know, antidepressants and certain medications. You don't sound like you have, you know, any other major psychiatric problems at all.
And I don't want to be put, you know, the psychologist that I talked to when I was in school, you know, they suggested that maybe I see a psychiatrist and get on antidepressants, but I told them that I don't want to be put on meds.
I agree.
You know, I just have this thing where I really don't like I don't like pills. I don't like what the pharmaceutical industry is doing to people. I think that it's, I think it's wrong.
Well, I've seen people's lives change who have some serious mental disorder, you know, it's people who have psychosis or, you know, some of the bipolar issues and things like that, but they also have side effects. So I kind of agree with you in a lot of ways, but you might.
And I tried.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, I tried smoking weed, you know, because I was in a community where a lot of people were smoking, and
Santa Barbara.
Definitely. You know, so I tried smoking weed, and I thought that would, you know, bring me up and make me happy. But actually, what I realized is, I'd feel nice and I'd feel relaxed like an hour, but then the next day I would wake up and I would be lethargic, and I would feel like almost more depressed and motivated to do things.
Yeah, it's sort of, there is a bounce back thing they're finding in research, you know, it's sort of a rebound kind of anxiety and rebound depression sometimes. So, you know, and it's withdrawals and stuff, especially if you're smoking a lot of cannabis. But so you know that, you know, the whole medicinal thing, and you've tried it sounds like. You've tried different things. And so just put your mindset, first of all, into the fact that you deserve, you deserve good things to come to you. It's your turn. You grow up in a chaotic household. You deserve happiness at this time in your life. You're an adult. You have your own job. You have your own place. You're a person who can now design your own life the way you want. So I want you to just think about appreciating life. You know, write a little gratitude.
Yeah.
Write a gratitude statement every morning. Think maybe five things that you're grateful for. I don't care what it is. I'm grateful for the fact that I woke up today. I'm grateful for the fact that I have a great job. I'm grateful that I'm able to take care of myself. I'm grateful for what I learned about my household and how not to live as a parent.
Right.
All right. So gratitude journals are amazing. And just small things, not big, long assignments, just every day, maybe write something else. You know, 3 to 5 things that you are grateful for when you wake up. It sort of like jump starts our brain to start being aware of the good things in our lives. You know?
Right.
Do things that you love. Mix it up. If you can get out of work early, go do some fun things. If you are, I don't know if you're still in Santa Barbara or where you're from, but if you're near wilderness or the ocean or whatever, go out and do stuff. Get a sport, man. I mean, the best medicine for our brains is, you know, that endorphin rush. Get a sport that gives you an endorphin rush. And not just working out at the gym. That's great and all, but find something that you like. Mingle with people. Get into a hiking club. Get into a volleyball, you know, club. Get into a soccer, kickball, something you might like, you know?
I will.
Yeah, do what you
Thank
love.
Thank you so much, Doc.
Enjoy things for
that's
you.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's just...
That's what I'm going
to
do.
That's the thing. And you just have to take care of yourself. Take care of your mind and your body and your health. Go get a checkup. Go to the doctor. Get some labs done. See, hear an MD say, you're healthy. You're good. Or, you know, you might start taking vitamins for your energy. Eat healthy. Get working out.
Yeah.
Do some kind of, and really try to get some sleep. You know, when you sleep, you're rebuilding. You know, the delta wave sleep, you're rebuilding cellular structures, and the REM stage, you're rebuilding a lot of the stuff that is being broken down emotionally during the day. So get as much sleep as you can. Not oversleep, but what I'm saying is you've got to do that. And hydrate.
No,
these are all no-brainers. You know that. And don't try to be someone you're not, okay? Nobody likes phony people. And people can read it. And determine who you are in the inside. Own your own personal likes and dislikes. Be confident in who you are. You don't have to be that funniest guy in the room, the clown dude you hang out with in the sports bars. You don't have to be like that with the women. Do the best you can.
Right.
You be you and don't second guess yourself. You know?
Mm.
Happy people know and they understand that they're 100% responsible for their life after they get the hell out of the crazy, chaotic home. Right? They're adults now. And it's okay for you not to feel great, especially what you're going through now. All right, you've got to heal from this. Have a lot of friends around you to support you. If you have some women who are friends, have them around you. They're always great to hang out with when you've, you know, just recently gotten out of a relationship because they'll give you great pep talks and they know what they're doing. They'll be great for you. But get out more often. Take care of yourself physically. Go to a therapist who will help you with your self-esteem. Don't worry about you not being happy enough. You'll find happiness.
Yeah.
You'll find happiness within through your own self-growth. All right, Chase.
Thank you.
Listen, love
thank
you,
you
so much.
I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's so nice to have you on the show, and thank you so much for being here to have the courage to call in. I so appreciate it.
Thank you for helping me out so much.
Oh, great. Email me.
I will.
StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com and let me know how you're doing. I'd love to hear from you again. Okay.
Thanks so much.
All right,
thanks
Chase.
For all your help, Doc. It really, really, really helped.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
You too. Many blessings. All right. All right, bye-bye. What a sweetheart, man. Oh, he deserves happiness. I love people. I love people like that who really need building up, especially when they come from tough homes. Wow, it's about that time. We got to go. It's Dr. Michelle, and Thanks for being on the couch with me today here on LA Talk Radio. All right, next week we are going to find out. Oh, man, I got Penny Pierce coming on. She's got this amazing book on finding yourself. It's a self-help book, and it's like nothing else. It is a new way to really create your own life. So keep it here. I'll be back next Friday at 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. Thanks for calling in, everybody, and for writing. Bye-bye now.